WWDB 860 AM Philadelphia and WPEN HD2 Burlington, Philadelphia.
Sometimes there's no exception to the rule. Here we are, another Monday. Call-in number is 888-329-3306. Stations, WWDB, 860 AM. The name of the show is Life is a Gamble. Your host, Melvin Prince Jonathan. Just wanted to let you know that you guys have to fight for something. You know, right now, there's just great movement. You know, all the young folks between 18 and 40 want to be Black Republicans or African-American Republicans, you know, and I think that's phenomenal. But I don't think we're going to change Philadelphia from blue to red no time soon, but we're definitely going to get more people out to vote differently. And I'm telling you, I seen something today that kind of shook me. And ever since I've been on the radio, I've been watching things that has actually literally penetrated my soul, my spirit. How does Detroit, Michigan get to let go 2,500 employees? Now, you might say that that's a lot of employees. Yeah, but it's worse for the African-American ones amongst them because they're not head of the unions. They don't really have a say-so. They're puppets to regurgitate whatever somebody over them has said. So when somebody at 31 years at a plant anticipate getting a paycheck every week and now all of a sudden he's let go, where's the American Rescue Fund? Where's that at? All the money we spent for the immigrants to come and be housed for the last 8 months, 6 months, or 2 years, you know, you thought that could have gone into negotiations to save 2,500 jobs. It is pathetically awful and ridiculous that you don't have a swell of people just upset and angry about other folks controlling their destiny. And I'm telling you, it's a sad state that we're in right now because I see this clearly. I see you're complaining about voting for a person and you wanted another person who looked like you, and yet you still in a bad situation. Let me tell you something. If you in a hole and there's one person who knows where the ladder is, who knows how to use that ladder, who knows how to get down there and get you out, and there's a person who looked just like you who don't have any clue at all on how to help you, who would you choose? Who would you choose? And so you got to, this is, you know, it's just as stupid and ridiculous as it is for the governor can find $156 million for a one-year contract. A one-year contract. All those African-Americans who drive for Scepters, all those people who friends are African-Americans who drive for Scepter, all those people who are non-African-American who drive for Scepter, all those people who participate in getting up every morning for the last 20 years or 30 years who drive for Scepter is going to be told that, well, we can negotiate, you can keep working for one more year and we're going to give $156 million. If they was asking for $210 million or $250 million over a period of time, then once you pay the salaries, how much money is going to the administration? Where is this money going? Where's the 156? Where's this money going? How come it's not itemized? How come somebody not talking about it on somebody else's show about it being itemized? You guys are fools. It's just a foolish mentality to just accept one-year agreements and stuff like that. This man's going to be campaigning next year, so he's going to promise you that he's going to get this stuff right, going to get it fixed. He was just a candidate for Vice President of the United States, and that did not happen, along with a lot of other missteps. But now he's going to take a bow for $156 million. I told you guys they were going to go on strike after the baseball season. There are probably not going to be any more strikes. You know why? Because we got enough folks in this country to take your job. And you mad at a president that's willing to move these people out of the country. You upset with a president. You worried about the president's personal life, and you're not worried about your own personal life. We just had a bunch of administrators, the same women group of the majority of this union are women. They voted for the mayor because she was a woman, and yet she gave them a one-year contract. How is it you guys get one-year contracts and the police department get four-year contracts and everybody that doesn't look like you get four-year contracts? You are an idiot. Stop going to the table negotiating one-year contract and saying that's the best you can do. And then another union get a four-year contract, and that seemed to be better than what it is that you were doing. The firefighters are going to get a four-year contract. The police officers are going to get a four-year contract. You know, people work at the university in the police capacity going to get a four-year contract. Look, when you call this show, I'm going to ask, are you holding them or are you rolling the dice? You going to gamble on your own life or you going to let somebody gamble on it for you? So with that being said, I have a co-host who calls in every Monday. And if she doesn't, I'm going to call her and find out why she isn't calling in. And so, Miss, my co-host, my special co-host, I am glad that you are well. I am glad that you found the time to bless me. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, Prince. This is Shaquita Stevenson, and I'm excited to be here. I missed you so much last week, but I heard the show. And, of course, like I said, it's blessing the people, and people are waking up. And they know that life is a gamble, and I think many people are taking the dice. They're taking back their dice. And so I just want to celebrate you for everything that you're doing and make sure that people are educated, empowered, and equipped.
I appreciate that very much. And we're going to co-host this show, so those who call in, you guys are going to be talking to Prince and Miss Stevenson. Also, congratulations on your the book that was dedicated to you that'll be out soon.
Oh, yes. So everyone, you're going to have to go and get this phenomenal, phenomenal book, which no other than the king himself, Melvin Prince, has dedicated to me. I cannot tell you how amazing it is for someone to take a look at decades of your work and look at your life and celebrate you and give you your flowers while you yet still live. So I want to tell you thank you, and I can't wait to get on the get out there with you and get that book out there, because it's going to heal a lot of women, a lot of men, and a lot of families.
Oh, man, it sure is. So, look, let's talk about this Detroit, Michigan issue,
Yeah.
And usually I stay local. I don't get into anything outside of Philadelphia, because I think we got enough problems here in Philadelphia that we need to fix. But they're laying off 2,500 folks, no matter if they worked 5 days or 25 years.
Right.
They're laying these folks off. You know, talking about the jobs are going either to Canada or Brazil. So they don't know where these jobs are going. Are you kidding me?
This is
still under this administration, so let's be clear. This is the administration. This is the Harris administration. So the question is, if she found it in her heart to go there to get votes when she was running in the 100 days, she can't, as Vice President of the United States of America, did she tap out? Did both of them tap out? Why aren't they in Michigan?
Well, they tapped out from the beginning. They were never tapped in. It was more so a ploy. It was all fictional. It's what they wanted people to see. One of the major parts of the Democratic Party is do as you're told. And when you don't do as you're told, then there's retribution. There's retribution from a standpoint of who gets contracts. It's retribution as it pertains to who gets money. It's retribution as to who keeps their jobs. And these are the things that keep our communities in fear, because they know that they have to pay their rent, they have to pay their mortgage, they have to pay for their food, their kids' college tuition. And now they've put their entire life in the hands of people that are telling them what they should do. And the Biden-Harris administration, they could salvage these jobs. They found money for illegal immigrants, for housing, for food, for education,
right,
for transitioning, for flying them wherever they want to fly them in the country. They could very well put together a plan of action which would save these jobs for the individuals that are there and put together a full plan of action. But this is, I'm paying you back. So this is, you didn't vote for me. You didn't do what I told you. So my last few days, I'll make sure that your holidays are even worse than it is. Mm. But the best thing about it is that with the administration, with President Trump, and how they're looking at how contracts are being used and who's in control of contracts and where funds and things have gone, it gives us the ability to speak up for communities like Detroit, just like we're speaking for Philadelphia and every place else. And the best part about it is, and you know where I'm going to go, it's mm-hmm. Garfield mm-hmm. being overseen by Dr. Daryl Scott. We get to make sure that these issues are in front of Dr. Daryl Scott, and we get to make sure that he understands those details. And then because he's that senior advisor, we get to make sure that that's shared directly with the big guy, with our president, with our 47th president. And we get to make sure that people recognize that your voices are heard. Don't be afraid about what's happening. Just be in a position to speak so that we can help to direct your concerns pertaining to your employment, pertaining to your community, and let's continue the movement so that these things don't go under the
correct
rug.
That's what I was just going to say. So they're going to help. What they're doing is going to help the movement. You know, we're not actually out here begging people to register Republican. People are coming to us and saying, how can I register Republican? They say, how can I support Trump? I'm just saying the idea that folks nowadays are not their grandmother's voters, you know, they're not the Democratic voter that just goes to the poll and puts the lever and then go do whatever and let the chips fall where they may.
That's right.
They have changed, and you guys have helped them change. You know, those commercials that Shalimar had talked about on his show, that one commercial in reference to the incarcerated person having a whole gender change, that was powerful that he would even announce that. And we use that to show people mm-hmm. that how sick this idea is. You know, it's not even a punishment, it's a reward. And so if they're never coming home based on the criminal charges that they have acquired, then you give them an operation for them what? To live the best life they can incarcerated? Are you kidding me? How sick is that?
Right.
How sick
right.
is that? The dynamics of that is just trifling. And so where do we hold African Americans accountable? Like when, you know, this time he didn't say, what do you have to lose? But at what point do you think that you haven't lost so much? Like you haven't increased in any area. Okay, so he wasn't there for the last 4 years. Has your school gotten better? No, but you gotten more money to those schools. Have you participated in the construction? No, but they've done more construction. They've spent more money in the areas of construction. And so one of the guys from Michigan, he said, I have two vehicles with two car notes and I have a mortgage to pay. And I've been working on this job for 31 years and they told me not to come in Friday.
Oh, okay.
31 years. He only talking about the car notes and the financial responsibility he has. He's not, there's no IRA, there's no trust, there's no funding source built in the last 31 years because he did not expect this company or this plant to go under. He just was expecting to go to work every day until he died. How sad is that?
Well, it's sad when we have to put ourselves in a position to take responsibility for what we invest in, where we invest in, where we spend our money, who we're spending our money with, and what our return on impact and what our return on investments are. For each of these families that are going through what they're going through now, my heart goes out to them. But they did what they were programmed to do.
Mm.
They got up, they went to a job, they worked 9 to 4, 9 to 3, 9 to 5, they collected their check. They made it the best way that they possibly could for their families. And really what they have to do is say, I'm now taking control of the destiny of the generational wealth that I want for my family. Mm-hmm. I want to own a home. I want to own a car. I want to have $100,000 or $1 million in savings. I want to go ahead and be in a position to invest in stock. I don't need to get the latest sneakers. I don't need to get the latest gear. I need a life insurance policy, which gives me the ability to utilize that life insurance policy, whether I'm alive or I'm deceased, in order to invest in the future of my business as well as my family. And until
Ms. Stevenson, hold on one moment. Can you hang in there with me? I need to take a 2-minute break.
Absolutely.
And come back. And then I'm going to have Miss Mary come in. We're going to you're going to be my co-host. So we're going to talk to Miss Mary when I come back from my break.
This is McGruff the Crime Dog, and I need you to help me take a bite out of crime. Counterfeit products are popping up everywhere. Fake sneakers, fake cosmetics, and even fake pills. Crooks are selling counterfeit versions of just about everything. Last year, billions of dollars worth of counterfeit products were sold in the U.S. Sure, it may seem like saving a few bucks on the things you want isn't a big deal, but counterfeits are usually made in unsafe conditions, potentially using hazardous and even lethal ingredients that could harm you and others. And the money you've paid, it goes right into the hands of criminals and may support child labor, drugs, and even gangs. Smells like big crime to me. So if you still think buying fake products is harmless, think again. And remember, if you don't know where the products came from, how could you know where the money goes? You're smart. Buy smart. Go for real. Learn more at McGruffPSA.org. This message is brought to you by the United States Patent and Trademark Office and the National Crime Prevention Council.
Serving my country required sacrifice. Sacrifice that changed my life forever. I remember the day I came home. Because of my injuries, this house wasn't right for me anymore. I remember the narrow doorways, the small bathrooms, the shelves out of reach when in my wheelchair. Every day was full of obstacles. I felt trapped. I remember a better day, the day my family received a specially adapted custom home from Homes for Our Troops. That day changed everything. Now we have a safe and accessible home to enjoy the freedom I fought for. This place, our home, is exactly what we needed to rebuild our lives.
Homes for Our Troops builds and donates specially adapted custom homes nationwide for severely injured post-9/11 veterans and enables them to rebuild their lives. Join our mission at HFOTUSA.org.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting
when the deal is done. You got to know. Miss Mary, how are you? Ms.
Good
Mary?
Afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes.
Ms. Stevenson's on the line. And you're
good
talking
afternoon,
with
Ms. Stevenson. Yeah, I'm calling to basically defend the union. Mm-hmm. And I know for a fact that I would have been fired on the spot, which they have always said to me that I was insubordinate. You know, after, and I've been a shop steward practically all my working life. I went to classes where the union trained me how to file grievances, how to represent people. Who, a worker, if you're a worker against your employer, and this has always been the playbook for decades, mm-hmm. where you have worked for a company for 20, 30 years, and you get a pink slip based on some infraction, you know, because they want to get you out anyway because you're getting a higher salary than the other employees.
Yep. You've been there the longest, yes.
And you have to look at if you're injured on the job, because I was injured on the job, and that was their opportunity to try to get rid of me because I had 35 years in place. And they were willing to get rid of me based on being injured, based on what my employer did. You know, so you have to realize especially with black people, you know, the union have always been a security blanket for us because...
But what kind of security blanket is now, though, when I look at SEPTA, I look at the, remember the females that have just got these one-year contracts, how good are the unions to us? $156 million is going to SEPTA for a one-year contract. Nobody's itemizing that contract. How is it actually benefiting the people who work there? So you two, what was it, 2-3 months ago, a woman shot a bus driver? How are you protecting the bus drivers, especially the African-American ones and others? I'm not just saying African-American. I'm giving a description, but all bus drivers, even the ones that drive in those bad neighborhoods, you've done nothing in this $156 million to help them, period. You know, they aren't safer.
They always go by the finances and whatever contract, the budget, with SEPTA, the city, the state, the federal government. You have to look at that because I remember under governors that I worked under, and it was primarily under Governor Rendell, where we worked for over a month because they did not have a state contract in place, because they have to have it in place in order to pay the employees. And I remember when the federal government shut down based on only people that get paid is the legislators. And until we corrected that, my union corrected that and found that it was illegal. Pennsylvania Social Services Union, SEIU, found out it was illegal for Rendell to have us to come to work every day for over a month with no paycheck and expected us to be there to service the people, but yet they were getting paid. So, and then when under Trump, when they shut down the government, they were out for a long period of time. I was surprised that the federal government did not also file the lawsuit against their employees that were not getting paid. So you have to look at the laws that are in place, you know? And I'm looking at what's going on now.
So, where, hold on, Ms. Stevenson. You want to offer something? You hear Ms. Mary's, you know.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say that the key to all of it, there was a time frame where the union was physically and in place to physically help the families that they were fighting and working for. The unions have gone from fighting for the best practices of their workers and their families to fighting for political positioning. There was a time that if individuals lost their job, unions were making sure that there was food, they were making sure that there was education, they were making sure that there were housing payments, they were making sure that there were health care payments. They were making sure that the community, meaning the body, not just the worker, but the family, was still intact until they could get their overall contracts in place. Now, today, it's just individuals bolstering for who can get the biggest contract, who is going to be on the political platforms. They're not concerned whether individuals are in position to physically keep their jobs or to sustain their jobs. It's about those individuals that are on the higher level and whether they can maintain their credibility of their style of living. Now, the next portion that we have to do, because this is our responsibility, when we know that we have unions that are not doing right by the people, they're not doing right by the contracts or the community or the legislations that are in place, that's when we have to understand the legislations that are in place. And we have to be in a position to speak out about it. But we all know that when people speak out, there's retribution. People,
now,
they're going to come
Ms. Stevenson,
after you.
Hold on one more. Now, Ms. Mary, why don't you speak to that in reference to speaking out? Because I'm sure you've spoke out a couple times for a couple situations, couple issues and stuff like that. So Ms. Stevenson has hinted that if you speak out, you're usually a target. Is that true? Is that not true or what?
Oh, no, you're definitely a target, because not only that I ended up after being injured, I had to file a whistleblower against the state. you know, and I know for a fact if I hadn't filed that myself because I had hired an attorney to do it for me, she was so afraid to go up against the state, she right. failed to do so. And I had to go pro se in federal court to represent myself because no attorney would represent me because they did not want to go up against the state of Pennsylvania.
That's right.
So, and I'd look at it this way. If I didn't have the training in place as being a union representative, a shop steward for all those That's decades, right. I wouldn't have known what to do. Pro se. And I now ended up fighting for everybody with the state supplemental insurance benefits, even though they told me I was time barred.
Think about Miss Mary right
Ms. Stevenson,
there.
Hold on one moment. Hold on one moment.
Okay.
I'm going to take another minute break, and I'm going to come back, and then you can go ahead and elaborate on what Miss Mary said. Okay, give me a minute.
Joe Buck and John Smoltz welcoming you back to the City Center Convenience Mart. Well, John, the stage is set for the final transaction.
That's right, Joe. Heather's moment has arrived, and you just hope all that training pays off.
Heather lays down her purchase, but Randy rings it up as slowly as he can.
He is a wily veteran.
It gives Heather's eyes the chance to wander.
Uh-oh.
Yep, she's looking at the cigarettes.
There's nothing good back there. Quit now, and in 5 years, your odds of getting certain cancers drop 50%.
Meanwhile, Randy's stone-faced. He's giving nothing away. He just stands there, wetting his cashier's finger on that sponge.
Heather toes the rubber.
Here we go. Heather's arm is in motion. But instead of pointing at the back wall, she just grabs the gum off the counter.
That's a slick move.
Heather, back, back, back. She is out of there. Even Randy tips his cap to Heather. Stand Up to Cancer and Rally wants you to reduce your risk for cancer.
Go to takeahealthystand.org.
You got to know when to hold up. Know when to fold up. Know when to walk away. And know when to run. You never count your money. When you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough for counting.
When the deal is done, Miss Stevenson, please talk about what Miss Mary left off, where I left off at, that Miss Mary was talking, and you were going to elaborate on that conversation. So go ahead. Miss Stevenson, are you still with us? Hello, hello. Miss Stevenson,
yes,
are you still there?
I can hear you.
I'm here.
Okay,
go ahead. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Elaborating on Miss Mary, there's no reason why for over 35 years that she worked hard, she was dedicated and committed, that in her time of need of being able to express what she was seeing, that now she had to become a target of individuals who had her to go into a pro se position, meaning they blackballed her. They told every attorney, if you go ahead and you do any business with Miss Mary, you'll never get a contract. They told anybody, if you go ahead and you help her, we'll make sure that you never get a contract, whether it's local, state, or federal. The only way that we put an end to that is to track who's in charge of making sure that who gets a contract. When we're able to see who gets contracts and who's making those determinations, we now find that they're abusing their power. Mm-hmm. Now they're in an illegal situation. And so now we have to be that whistleblower that's saying, okay, whether it was a Democrat that got elected in that office, whether it was a Republican, they're abusing their power to ensure that people are silenced. And the way that they're doing it is they're saying that you either do as you're told or you will not have access to local contracts, which means you can't pay for your company. You can't pay for your livelihood economically within your overall community. And now you're physically shunned. And not only do you become a target personally, they then target your children. They target your grandchildren. They target your business. We have to be able to expose them by being the watchdogs, which Life is a Gamble is putting out right there. And what you see us doing with Garfield, we're that whistleblower to say you're no longer going to suppress, oppress, or disenfranchise individuals from speaking truth.
So, Miss Mary, for the next 2 minutes, elaborate on what it is that although you were blackballed. And so give us some examples on what has happened to you in the next 2 minutes. I know I got a few callers on the line, but I want to give you a couple minutes to elaborate what happened to you.
You know what? I ended up staying an extra 10 years because no one was going to force me out. I left there 45 years, and I made sure that everyone that placed a target on my back, I made sure that they were forced to retire.
Come on now.
To leave the government before I was going to leave. And that's what I did. I stayed an extra 10 years. And I made sure that I don't care who the person is. You have to be in the position to become a whistleblower. I know I had my family to back me no matter what. And I made sure that the union backed me also. The business agents came down to just sit with me when I argued my case. You know, and you have to be knowledgeable on the laws. And I'm interested in what they're going to do with these laws where these qualified immunity, where they only going to charge the person, not the government, not the city or the state. I'm very interested on how they're going to do that. And the nonprofits that've been doing things on their own, and been charging us as a city to pay what they didn't win the case, you know, like that Rally for Justice Coalition, where we end up had to pay the police department. You know, come on. You know, and I'm glad they're going to hold them accountable now, not us taxpayers, because we paid for too much. Hold the individual that did wrong to you, not us. And I want to thank you, and you have a good day.
Thanks, Ms. Mary.
Thank you, Ms. Mary.
Have a great day. Miss Stevenson.
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, man. Miss Mary is awesome, isn't she?
She is amazing. She's on. That's the knowledge and the wisdom that people need to be able to tap into. They need to be able to hear it raw, hear it real, so that they can keep it moving. And don't assume that this stuff doesn't happen, because it happens. And she's a real, she's a hero for what she, like she said, she stood 10 toes down, because it wasn't just about her. It was about the community. It was about making a difference, making the impact. So she stood up in front of every last demon and said, okay, I'm going to do another 10 years. I'm going to give you a reason to have to go. You're not putting me out. And that's what we have to do.
And she votes on both sides of the aisle. So if the candidate makes it past the primary, and that's one of the things that we're working on now. So the Republican candidate can make it past the primary, in order to compete in the general and give people a change of mind so they don't just have to just vote for the Democrat that's on the ticket. They can vote for the best person on the ticket. And so
you got to know.
Like they did this election. This election,
that's right.
The general election, so many Democrats voted for Donald Trump. They don't want to tell you the story. They don't want to mention it. They don't want to say it out loud. But, you know, it's ironic how you're going to try to put
fear
in people.
I'm going to tell you something. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you something that you're about to see. And I'm very happy to say that Garfield was playing, you know, a major role in that movement. We're going to see a lot of African-American Democratic mayors switch and start working collectively with the Republican Party in order to get the things that they need for their community, whether it's safety and policing, whether it's for education, whether it's housing, whether it's workforce development. You know, they are tired of being given a song and a dance, and they want to be proactive. And so they're rolling up their sleeves so that they can fight for what their community needs, not what somebody's given them a false promise about. And so I have to say, as I said, I'm always going to celebrate Dr. Scott for the work that he does and being on the forefront. And he doesn't cater to, you know, people's different opinions. He stays focused on the facts. He's led and charged by God and all that he's doing. And we get to really sit down with individuals, no matter what their party, and say, what is the real picture? What is it that you physically need? And here's a plan of action on how we have the ability to get there. And so we're excited about that. Very excited about that. So we're going to see a lot more individuals, regardless what their party issue is, they're going to change from that party to stay focused on overall growth and development. And I encourage people to get involved. Share your thoughts. Don't hold on to them. Share your thoughts. Don't assume
And if you hear information, let that be that information, but don't allow anybody to pause you from speaking it from your own perspective and from your own directive.
Now, there's a lot of mayors that are going to be that's going to run up against issues. I know the mayor of New York seems to be supporting Donald Trump and seems to be backpedaling on giving all that money to those immigrants to stay in places and food vouchers and stuff like that. So it looks like he's cutting that. And I think the mayor in Detroit and the mayor in Chicago.
Also the one in Dallas.
Yeah.
Also the mayor in Dallas.
Yeah, they want them out. You know, they I've watched the rallies in Chicago. I've watched the rallies in Detroit. And they were hell-bent on getting the very people that they supported because they look like them. You know, we're going to support these African-Americans. We're going to position them, you know. And yet they've gotten nothing but the support of the dollars leaving their neighborhoods, going to foreigners, going to strangers, going to people who had not sweat, no tears, no dedication, nothing. They came with nothing, and yet they reaped the benefits of everything. How do you walk down the street and see someone laying on the street corner and you just bring somebody over and you spend $16,000 with them in a month's time?
Well, you know, it happens every day. So when we look at the different departments within the United States government, like I can look at Health and Human Services, mm-hmm. you know, you can look at the Department of Defense, you look at the Department of Energy, you look at, you know, HUD. Many of their budgets correlate and they run, they actually operate collectively together, but they're standing alone and they're operating independently. And so there's the ability to have strategic strategy where we can get rid of the waste and we can get rid of
drain the swamp, as they would say.
Yes.
Drain the swamp. This would be the one thing you got to love about our president is that he don't mix words. You know what I mean?
You
got so many of these intellectual, smart people that have gone to these European schools and they think they know it all. They think that their understanding and their ideology is relevant to this struggle. This is designed. This struggle is designed. If you were to give these people the opportunity to be whatever they want or to do whatever they want, you're saying that they don't know what they want. They don't have a clue on how to be more than what they are, so we need to subsidize them. I remember going to a tree lighting, and someone said, we have this tree lighting at this location, so you don't have to go downtown and feel a part of the festive areas. You can feel that way right in your poor neighborhood, in your subsidized house, with your kids still trying to find out how they're going to get a better life, because you haven't answered that question. A woman with 7 kids, you gave her housing, but you haven't answered the question on how she going to have a better life because you're the one taking care of her.
Well, the thing about it is this is where I'm really going to be pressing in this area. You know, we have what's called the Community Action Agency mm-hmm. that came out in 1964, and they provide subsidies. They provide weatherization. They provide what you need for your energy assistance or what you need for food vouchers. And what I want to say to our people is, why would you want to stand in a food bank line when you can actually go to a grocery store or have ownership in the grocery or have ownership in the energy company that's paying you money in order to use the overall energy, opposed to somebody saying, I'm giving you $20 a month for your light bill, or I'm giving you $100 a month for your light bill. But when we change the conceptual opportunity for what Community Action Agency's done, we've had families, we went from one generation of poverty and now we're now in 5 generations of poverty.
Right.
So this
waiting list.
Yes.
And this is what they don't understand, Ms. Stevenson, is that waiting list.
Yeah.
When you got money and you look into what to invest in, right? You now have a waiting list, which is a clear indication that I have people wanting to move in this place. So that means that I need to invest in this place right here. So public housing is servicing its investors, not its residents. So let's just be clear. That commodity is not, you have a waiting list to show your investors that they have a commodity of people that's going to be here. So your money is good for the next 5 years, for the next 10 years. It's no different than what they did with rap music. And say, well, we got a superstar who can convince a bunch of people to shoot, kill, and rob, and he's going to be that way for the next 10 years so we can invest in him, you know. So don't get it twisted. Don't misconstrue that what you think you're doing for as a good cause, it's still not giving the people who are in the position a way out. But we're paying salaries, though. We got six-figure salaries. We got a We got $750 million annually.
Well, that's the whole point. You would rather be able to say, okay, community action agencies, which I would just eliminate. That's just my standpoint, because they don't do anything for anyone in that space. But we'll be able to say, you'd be able to present something to President Trump from a standpoint of, it would be better that you would have a family would get access to a 10-year subsidy, a five, a 10-year subsidy to get them on their feet, which gives them the ability to purchase their home, which gives them the ability to have capital for their business, and it gives them the ability to have a return on impact on the basis of the different marketplaces that they're in. That's much better than me getting a light bill where now you're paying $50 for that light bill. Why can't I tie on to the Department of Energy where now I have ownership in that energy company and I'm actually giving a dividend, a check. I'm getting a dividend for that, but it's going into ownership, not just ownership for me, but ownership for my children. I am not, like you just said, living in a house for that's being paid through HUD or anything else, which is benefiting the investor and is keeping me now one generation, two generation, three generation, four generation in poverty with no access to ever physically getting out, because now my entire family has now had to go through the process.
Here's the thing. You built boards with people who have never experienced housing, only by way of committees, who have in the committee who have agreed to give the contract to the same developers or the same contractual people who've always had contracts with the housing authority. Are you kidding me? You know, and then to see something different is an anomaly. They're like, oh my God, you mean tell me you actually got a contract? So we don't want to replicate getting contracts for some of the soft things that human beings can do. Physically able human beings can do. No matter how many books you write, no matter how many times you press the issue, there's still a structure in place that go against the quality of life of people. Because you're telling me if you don't provide the quality of life for them, they wouldn't have a quality of life. That's all you're saying.
And that's ignorance. Because we are, the Black community is one of the most resilient communities. You give us nothing. So at the end of the day, people are still trying to figure out, well, how do they do that? How is that possible? But this is the issue. It's time to stop giving the overall secret sauce. And it's time to collectively, just as we're helping every other community rebuild and sustain, it's now time for us to have a real sustainable plan,
correct,
which makes it profitable for not just everybody to profit off of us, but for us to be able to profit and for the communities to be able to grow.
And to compete. We are not competing. That's the whole issue. I don't have an issue with you getting paid a six-figure salary by working in housing. I have an issue where you think that you are setting the stage for them to compete because you hadn't built the grocery store right next to the Dominican store, the convenience store that charges three times as much. You haven't built a store ran by African Americans so they can have an option. Now, if you go to the dollar store and get deodorant and you pay $1.25 for it, and then you go outside the dollar store and you pay $3.29 for it, eventually your economic situation is going to send you somewhere where that $1.25 it looks a lot better than that
$3.49.
But when you no longer have that dollar store in that community, then all you are dealing with is paying $3.49 for the same deodorant that you know you could have got from the dollar store. So how come we didn't build a bunch of, not just the dollar store chains that you see where you have to go to strip malls, but how come the similar dollar stores aren't located directly in some of these urban communities when you revitalize them? It is the pathetic part about it is that you say that we're a low-income community that just got $26 million. The only reason why that community is low-income because it's income-restricted. That's why it's low-income. when the housing authority makes it income restricted, where you can't make more than $26,000, that's what make it low. But you spent $26 million in this community right here. And I'm hoping that under this leadership, under this administration, that we devise a plan, you know, term limits.
Yes.
And an economic plan so they can do everything from cut grass, spray water during construction sites, sidewalk cleaning, financial window cleaning, yes. 1,000 jobs they can do that you can tie
technology
into the system.
Yes. I think that's the valuable nature of where we need to go, opposed to being allowing individuals to block anyone in. We're able to utilize the skill sets in which we have, which has the ability to produce a local economic economy. We have to grow the local economic economy. So whether it's accountants, whether it's bookkeepers, teachers, mm-hmm. Bus drivers, grocery store, hydroponics, all the different things that, you know, we need in our community, those positions should be filled by community members.
Right.
It should be a
right.
community
and you
member.
Don't, right, right. There's a person who has a hydroponic tank, and I think he charges $130 for 90 minutes. You know, and I'm saying, okay, if that's the case, then we need to own one of them. We need to have one of those. Those things need to be, there needs to be some direct ownership in this community. That's the only way you're going to get us to understand that supporting and buying in your own community helps support that community. It does not
that's
look
right.
good when you get a lease on a building and you are doing event space and you are doing things out of it, and then your money dries up and then people stop supporting you. And now, because you had no ownership of the space, you lose it.
Well, you end up losing it primarily because the numbers that they came up with, the $26 million to give to the overall investors, those investors utilize the demographics of our people. They get the money. They build fragment of what they're supposed to build, and they take the money out of the community. We have to make sure that no more money is being taken out of our community. And if developers do get access to funding and they're not providing the infrastructure for the communities that they're supposed to build for, then they have to pay it back. It's time to be in a position that we're holding people accountable. Too many of our communities are being utilized for our demographics in order to get local, state, and federal dollars. After those dollars are received, they go ahead and they build what they want, and then they ship us out to a whole nother version.
But what I found is that the developers are the ones that are negotiating with the politicians, and the politicians are the ones telling the housing authorities or the people that have fixed structures what to do, whether it's the university, whether it's the hospitals, you know, whether it's the school district, whether it's City Hall,
the rich
people are moving the system, and then the people that are getting paid the salaries, the executive directors and the people, the vice presidents or the presidents that are responsible for the commodity, you know, begins to move the commodity in the ways in which they think the people who have invested, you know, the people who got the dollars on the line, want them to
right.
move it. It's just, and this is where this presidency showed that your expectations for the poor people to come out and vote for just a candidate who ran 100 days based off of nothing substantial, you know,
right.
Now they see that folks are not just falling. This is not sheep.
No more emotions.
Right.
You don't have the ability to play on my emotion.
Right. This is not sheep
anymore.
You don't
have to. Yeah.
You're not hurting any sheep anymore.
You don't have to play on my emotion. You don't have the ability to threaten me. You don't have the ability to overspeak me. You don't have the ability to tell me what I'm not and what I can't. We are a resilient people. We have resilient individuals all across our community. Now it's time to utilize our resilience to make sure that we have a plan of action. We stay at the forefront and we make sure that our voices are heard and we have the ability to agree to disagree. We're not separating ourselves from a standpoint of
culture over here or culture over there. What we're saying, we identify with who we are, we identify with what we need, and we understand that the only way in order to make sure that we're successful, as life is a gamble, is to take the dice and us roll them. And the only way to roll them is for me to speak my piece.
Well, I'm going to take a break. We didn't ask Miss Mary was she rolling the dice or was she holding them, but since I've been talking to Miss Mary, she's always got the dice in her hands.
Come on now.
I'm going to take a 1 minute break. We're going to come back and do about another 4 minutes on this show right here. And I thank you for holding on. I thank you for calling in. Let's take that minute break and I'll be right back with you.
Battles aren't won solely on the field. That's a common misconception. Battles are won within, over enemies of fear, enemies of doubt. In that place where promises are kept. Promises to oneself.
This is a physical training event.
Promises to one's community.
Helping people move debris out of their house.
Promises to one's country. In the heart of every Marine, you'll find a promise. A promise forever kept. A promise of battles won.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the deal is done. You got to know when.
Here we go. Once again, let me just thank you for the opportunity to speak with you once again. I know we're doing a lot of great things with, aside from what people were asking, well, where are all the black people at? And where are all the people, where are the black people at? And I'm saying, wait a minute. That's not how you look at government. You look at government, where are the people at? If they're my friends, then, you know, I've known them. So before I finish with my dialogue, I see Stanley has called in. Let me go to Stanley. Ms. Stevenson, we're going to talk with Stanley for about 2 minutes. Is he there? Okay. So we continue to talk. So when they ask the question, where are the black people at? Where are the, you know, your boy is hiring all these people. I'm saying, no, he's hiring people who are familiar with him. Remember, it wasn't always pleasant to join the Donald Trump bandwagon at the very beginning. A lot of people, you know, even the people in his party had come against him. And that wasn't unusual because at the very beginning when he had ran folks in his party, he had to knock out 16 candidates when he first ran. So now the fact that he hired somebody for HUD and the fact that he has almost 4,000 positions to fill and vet, you know, it's just interesting how now everybody wanted to say, well, where's the black people at? What do you think, Ms. Stevenson? Are we there?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Hello?
Yeah.
Okay. What we need to recognize is that President Trump is being very, very strategic from a standpoint of loyalty, right? You don't want to be in a position where individuals are going to try to take this next 4 years and make him a lame duck president by ensuring that all of the work and all of the plans that he's physically working on to make the country better doesn't take place because you're just selecting who people are telling you to select. He is choosing from wisdom. He's choosing from his top senior advisors, and he's making sure that those individuals that are in position can be trusted to help carry out, you know, the assignment which God has given to him for the overall nation. We have to get in a place where everybody thinks everything out of race. They make it out of culture. They make it out of religion. They try to make it seem like this person is not that. No, allow him and afford him the opportunity to pull together the individuals which he believes that he has selected with his senior advisors to be the best for what America needs, and then watch everything else begin to evolve the way that it needs to.
You're funny because I'm thinking that they're only asking the question because, there's some stones that's going to be overturned.
That's
there's some
right.
hidden stuff that should not have never taken place that's going to be exposed. And that is like, wait a minute, you know, who we going to put there? You know, who going to know more than we know? Who going to
right.
find out that we was never using the money for what we were supposed to have been using it for?
That's right.
Who going to find out that the money we got through the unions to do all this building, we never built the room, or we never did the training.
Never
or
built the room.
Room is too small for the training, which does not
that's
fit
right.
the any guidelines to putting people in there. So that's why they're asking the question. And so, come on, man, you got the last 30 seconds. Then close us out with your wisdom.
Well, what I say to individuals, if you're currently in the government and you spent more time doing work based upon party lines opposed to doing what's right for the American people, your time is up.
Mm.
This is a time where individuals are in a position so that we can all move forward, black, white, Jewish, gray, purple, brown. It doesn't matter. The president of the United States, Donald Trump, is bringing us together collectively so that we can be unified and we can solve issues, but most importantly, that we can all be in a place of having generational wealth.
So are we rolling the dice or are we passing them?
We are rolling the dice.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank everyone for listening. This is Life is a Gamble. Your host, Melvin Prince John, again, we're signing off. Thanks again. You'll be here next Monday, same time, same place, from 2 to 3.
Time coming, but I know a change gonna